And welcome back again, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Lost Podcast of Titan, a father and son journey through the sci-fi series where we try to delay watching this episode for as long as we possibly can.
I mean, think of it. The quicker we get this over with, the quicker we'll get to the Space Hippies episode.
I'm not looking forward to that. I'm not. I mean, I'm looking at, okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do Star Trek original series, Wink of an Eye. And I'm looking at what's left, and I'm not exactly thrilled here.
Well, let this be your last battlefield.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But Cloud I'm worried. Riders is fairly, you know, decent.
But I'm worried that I have better memories of it than it actually is. You know,
hasn't that been the way it's been going here with you, especially in the third season?
If I remember anything in the third season, yeah.
Yeah.
Like even Tholian Webb was like, I thought the Tholians were in here more. Give me some more Webb action.
I think they mentioned the Tholians again in third season, but we're definitely not seeing the Tholians until I mean they get, you know, lip service in Next Generation and stuff like that, but until they do that 2-part episode of Enterprise, we actually don't see the Tholians as a physical presence.
Well, pity for the Tholians.
Yes.
And the world's most insanely stupid offensive measure. Just don't move. We'll just do a web around you.
So, no ideas for a possible Tholian spinoff series?
Well, I mean, it's like Tholian's Web of Lies. The title writes itself, so it clearly has to be a kind of like a spy espionage kind of thing.
I think a Tholian spy would be a bit obvious.
No.
Don't mind me.
No, they work through other agents.
I suppose so.
Or there are beings of pure energy, and they'll inhabit the other bodies and, you know, viciously drain the memories and knowledge from other people in a semi-dark room. That's a Horror Express reference for our audience. For the last episode. Feel free to listen to our last episode of Horror Express and let us know how bad it was at lostpodcastatitan@gmail.com. Actually, it's got Kojak. Come on. Actually, why wasn't Kojak in the original series?
I don't... He wasn't in his acting prime back then. He was just a...
Well, neither was anyone else in Star Trek.
Well, William Wyndham and a couple of others. Ricardo Montalban.
Ricardo Montalban, that was not his prime. His prime was in Wrath of Khan. I'm sorry.
No, his prime was when... I could almost want to say... Fantasy Island, but he was in a couple of series before that.
You mean his chest?
He rented out his chest, you know, for bar mitzvahs and birthday parties and stuff like that.
But, I mean, Kojak could have beamed on the Enterprise and be like, you know, who loves you, baby? To Uhura. That would have been awesome. So, okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's get this over
we,
with.
We got to do Wink of an Eye.
If we have to suffer through this, you have to suffer through this. So, please pause us and pull Star Trek Wink of an Eye on your favorite physical media streaming service and come back to us when you're ready. Welcome back. We'll get started in 3, 2, 1, play. Oh, wait. Wait. Oh, no. And that's not Lanky Motherfucker.
Nope.
Now, do we have Sulu? And that's not Uhura behind Scotty.
I believe it is.
I believe it's not.
The backdrop back there is made for the remastered version. In the original version of the episode... they were using a used before matte painting. There you go.
No, that okay. I'm talking about the view with Scotty.
Oh, wait. Hold right there. Did you just see that?
No. What did I see?
There's they were showing a shot from the surface on the viewing screen.
And it was the old shot?
No. But it definitely was not the person we saw at the navigation station. It was a back shot of Chekhov's head.
Hmm. That's not a good sign. What is this? The CVS back lobby?
Maybe.
It's the old TV producer pissing into the water fountain statue. He has to kind of kneel to get the best flow. Kojak in the background. I love you, baby.
Why are you pacing your dialogue like that?
Also, is the red shirt literally just drinking the water
from the fountain? He just did. Which...
The fucking bullshit is this asshole. We have... Oh, no loss. So we have...
Everyone beam up.
Yes. But I'm sorry, what the fuck is with these Star Trek people who just, I'm going to eat and drink random things in the, what do you call it? The environment.
I'm going to take the glove off my protective suit and touch stuff.
Yep.
You would think they'd have that beaten out of them before they left the Academy.
Or at the very least, after the first season. So is this the worst episode in season 3?
Oh, no. I think we've already encountered the worst in this season. Which I mean, it's all up here... from now on, even the space hippies.
Really? Oh my.
Well, in my opinion.
There we go. For some reason, it was like really loud.
Oh, so they did beam up.
Oh, maybe it was Uhura when I first saw her. Okay. She sees Alra is ready for a job right there. Oh, you need me to do some communications? Oof. Maybe you should continue watching the tape and see if there's an explanation of what's been going on.
Were they expecting the people to actually be still waiting there at the beam down point?
That would have been funny. About fucking time. It's been 3 years. Holy shit. I am tired.
And I also want to know why Sulu keeps wiping his mouth.
Because it's the naked time.
Uh-oh.
This doesn't concern you?
He's confident that Scotty will clear up everything.
Nurse Chapel is seriously just marking down the lights on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mentally though, you're insane. I think I vaguely remember this. Isn't someone kissing him?
Yeah.
Of course they're kissing him.
Oh dear.
Open fire. Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any paintball or anything like that going on starships.
Or something exciting in this episode?
Well, like that?
It's like Klingon dodgeball. That would be fun. The ball explodes after a while. Well, you don't know when.
The ball is covered with razor spikes.
Oof. Wait, they actually redid the special effects for the phasers in this one episode?
Yeah.
Why the fuck just this one episode?
I do not know. Well, they did remaster the ship's phasers for the remastered series.
Well, yeah, but those were spaceship shots.
Yeah, true.
Man, they were excited. They got chosen to be security. Ain't got any lines. They got a free pass at the craft buffet table and a SAG card for a year. That was it.
Hey, their characters are still alive. That's something.
That would be funny. We are one of the only two red shirts to actually have survived their appearance. Why are they randomly destroying? I mean, I understand that it's not supposed to be there. They don't know what it is. But what if they were just unaware of what it was? What if Scotty was doing a new environmental system that he tied that all into?
I think knowing the way things go on the Enterprise, Scotty would tell Kirk before he tried anything. By the way, Captain, we're putting down new carpeting on Deck 15. Well, they can't. And they're doing it.
Boop, 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 boop.
Scotty, shouldn't you be out there doing something?
No. Kiss your ass goodbye.
How about destroy the ship?
I said destroy the ship.
No, she's just wandering around the bridge with cups of coffee. That was a bad move.
And they're going to steal his coffee.
Has it ever occurred to you, Kirk, that you might have tinnitus? Uh-oh.
Also, you think after a while they would come up with a new, like, caffeinated drink. And that is dangerous. Why are you put, like, one little shake of the Enterprise?
Didn't he do that before? Put the coffee cup on the engineering console?
I think he did, yes. Whoa, trippy.
Must be some coffee.
Why do we keep looking at Spock? Look too slow-mo Uhura.
There you go. Tap him on the head a couple of times.
Hello. I surrender. God damn.
Well, things are looking up in the interstellar relations department.
Dela the enemy.
Are her earrings still moving in normal time?
Well, let's not be silly here. The answer is yes. Listen, I'm sorry. I'm really digging the outfit, to be perfectly honest.
It's a nice outfit, yes.
Like, this is where the stern iron will of the captain of the SS Cynical Bastard would fail.
Oh, dear.
Love me.
She was very beautiful. Well, accustomed to being kissed, period, but... Yeah, he doesn't know where to put his hands.
I have ideas. Oh.
Oh, part two.
So how long? Oh, dang. So how long was she on the ship? You know, falling in love with Kirk.
In her time, I would imagine several days.
But yeah, but now we have the phaser being shot on the bridge.
Yeah, shouldn't a phaser? Well, that was a stun beam, though. It wouldn't have harmed any of the instruments. But my problem is, if the phaser is a speed of light energy weapon, that causes some real problems. If they are moving faster than the speed of light, then
their clothes should be atomized, yeah.
No, in the real world, this the whole plot should be resolved in less than a second, whereas we will see that it takes actual time to have things happen. Am I making myself clear?
Yeah.
Yeah, all way. She's speaking into an everlasting gobstopper from Willy Wonka.
Oh, wait. Is that what happened to... Oh, Compton drank the water.
Water, yes.
Ah, yes.
The dots are connected.
Are we just going to leave Compton behind? I have a very sneaky suspicion.
That's Compton.
Oh. Uh-oh. Nope, that would be her.
Until he sold out the entire ship.
Yep, he earned his SAG card. Let him have two passes on the craft tables. We haven't seen Chekhov.
No, we haven't. Except the back part of him in that one mistaken shot.
Huh.
And vacant.
Oof.
You'll notice I haven't been going on at length about the actors playing guest stars here and their backgrounds.
Because there's been no real actors or the backgrounds in this episode?
Yeah, and I've arrived at the conclusion that a cost-saving method employed in the third season has been to go to C-list actors and such.
Oof.
I mean, Kathy Brown, who plays Dila.
Oof. Kathy Brown, you say? What else has she been in?
Not all that much, amazingly enough. Now, Jason Evers, who plays Rail, he was in an earlier series developed by Gene Roddenberry called Wrangler, a Western series. The reason you might not be familiar with Wrangler is that it only lasted a few months on television.
Oof.
I mean, don't try to contain your surprise and shock. Hit him. Oh, that's right. Put the blame on him.
Well, oh, dang.
Uh-oh. You need to work on your technique, fella.
Mm-hmm. And you also need to learn communication with your spouse about her needs before you get married to her.
There you go.
Because it's a makeup technique we're familiar with and yes, saves us some issues.
Now, that's interesting. I saw them move. They didn't just take still picture of Spock, McCoy, and Chapel and just run that at certain times.
I imagine it didn't look right. Which, of course, having them, you know, remain freeze frame is kind of stupid. Like, we have Leonard Nimoy going, I took 3 years of theater, 4 years of tap, 2 years of ballet to just sort of stand here frozen. I could have been the fucking captain of this ship.
I'm wanting to see Leonard Nimoy in ballet class. It must have been an interesting chemical content in the volcanic emissions. Oops.
Yes.
Really?
Unless you liked it.
Well, there are only five of you left, and apparently your program sucks.
That's a fair point. And again, like, this could be resolved by them just being honest.
Exactly. Once again, I'm sure, you know, the Federation would have people who would be very interested in the problem and could help to develop a solution.
While also comforting Dila in her, you know, more vulnerable moments.
Of course, they'd have to move very fast because, I mean, she was talking about ancient history when the volcanoes and stuff had happened. I mean, in her point of view, in her time-space reference, that could have been just 5 minutes ago in normal time. Well, I guess considering the time difference, they've had more than enough time to learn to operate the transporter.
Maybe Scotty left an instruction manual on the side.
That's true. It would have been interesting if he had.
Yes.
Which you do. Which he did. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. So they have hot Talusian honeys going after them as well?
That would be interesting. With battle.
Bullshit.
That's not saying much for the Enterprise crew.
Oh, now she asks. God damn.
Snort. Well, you weren't doing too bad before, but she is, I'm almost tempted to say, the prettiest girl in third season.
So far, yes. Holy shit.
Yeah. Well, that puts the kibosh on a few things. Well, wouldn't you say that her presence in the episode is another reason this is head and shoulders above and the children shall lead? Now, who was recording that on the planet's surface? I think my partner in crime has momentarily absconded. And I would attempt to impersonate him and add his commentary, but that would get me thrown out of the union. And what made Spock consider doing that? I cannot find no logical or reasonable way, means for, I mean, reason for him to do that sort of thing. We can hope and, or has Jeremiah finally given up and has gone to commit Harry Carey in his location? He is currently in the parking lot of his apartment complex
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I had taken a sip and put myself on mute. I was actually asking questions, wondering why you weren't responding to them. Oh, God. Oh, my question was, are they having conversations that last for years around these people to account for buzzing lasting several seconds in their real time?
That's essentially it. And that's another reason I've had problems with this episode, with the execution of this phenomenon. Mm. In Voyager, they would do something similar, blink of an eye, and I think they handled that a lot more interestingly and realistically.
You're like, holy shit, what if we do this story except it was halfway good?
I mean, look, we now see Scott at the entrance to the transporter room.
Yeah.
So Lord knows how many hours or even days have passed between the time Scott was sent to the transporter room and his arrival here. This could be, you know, like 8 months down the line.
I'm going to give that woman what for? Like, what if the door isn't open?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Wonder what's been going on in the interim.
Why did she bother getting dressed again? She's barely dressed now.
Well, yeah, I might have made for a more interesting episode if she spent the rest of the episode, you know, Starkers, but the censors wouldn't have allowed it. I'm surprised they allowed showing Kirk pulling his boots back on, a clearly suggestive move. Kirk also seems to have developed this habit
mm-hmm.
of getting in between established couples. Same thing in By Any Other Name.
I mean, he's the captain.
Yeah, and I want to see the Starfleet Academy class that taught about such situations. Or is this a matter of using one's own initiative? Use the chair.
Oh, my God. He just got clobbered by the chair. That man had a family broken in half, I swear to God. And coming out of the side, it's the Vulcan. He's doing the neck grip. This Vulcan has been in pawn far ever since he lost the Intercontinental Championship to Kojak.
Who loved him, baby?
Who loved him, baby? Which, I mean, okay, this says something about the episode where we have Kathy Brown here, really well-dressed, and yet, like, this is just boring as fuck. Holy shit.
But we can put it behind this very soon. I mean, how many more minutes do we have of this?
I don't know. Nine-ish minutes, give or take?
Yeah. I think she's also got the longest eyelashes I've ever seen on a woman in Star Trek.
I swear, like, they put little razor blades on the end of those eyelashes. They'd be dangerous weapons.
Ew! Now I'm wondering if you can get it back up again.
No, but I would have been interested, or you know, more amused if they figured out that it's from the water, and that what happened to Compton is only briefly touched upon, but they just leave him behind and don't mention him again.
Well, they clearly saw him disappear. I mean, what were they going to do?
Leave him behind and never mention him again.
Nimoy's just been given a lot of insightful dialogue in this episode. You seem to be moving very slowly. And the captain. Remember him?
No, he's fine. What? And how exactly is the transporter working at their normal speed?
Don't you remember? Dila said they adjusted the transporter to their rate.
Oh, I was distracted by what she was wearing. Sorry.
Yes, talk about cloaking device. Blaster. Zapper.
Oh. Why Spock? How logical.
Fancy
for
meeting you
to be the
you
one.
Are here.
And his skin is broken. How did he trick you? What was it?
He
has to forever walk on your right-hand side?
Really, she thought that he was docile enough he wouldn't try anything like that again, which doesn't make him as much clever as it makes you really ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
But would that work on the Klingons or the Romulans? Or the Tholians.
You could come visit.
I got an outfit which is even skimpier than this.
Oh, wait, hold on. let's discuss this here. Spock, you've always wanted to be captain.
at the moment. In fact, For the Moment would have been an interesting alternate title for this episode, I think.
Oh, there you go.
Absolutely nothing.
Oh, I died. Oh,
he falls to the floor, writhing in agony.
Give it a minute. God damn.
He said, well, it didn't work. Let's beam Dila back up.
Spock.
A yes or no wouldn't have been out of, you know, fashion.
So Spock basically spent 6 months just, you know, fixing the ship.
Well, for Spock, that would have been high entertainment. Oh, chuckle, chuckle. I don't think the Comedians Union has anything to worry about the planet Vulcan. In fact, do me a favor, Lieutenant, and keep this on tape and let me have a copy.
You see, that should have been Kirk's son in Wrath of Khan. His kid Dila from Skalos, yeah. Part of the Genesis project was they're trying to find a way to live in normal time.
Well, I suspect Kirk has had more than one child.
Probably, yes.
Well, I'm giving this a B-.
Uh-huh.
How about you?
A B-.
Yeah, this episode. and I'm being generous.
Well, you're being very generous, yes.
All right, I'll modify that to a hard C.
I give it a C-.
Okay.
Because it was just... And the only reason why it's passing is because of Dila, so...
Wow! Maybe she could have... I'm going to have to check and see... Certainly, she's done a few other things. I want to see if I can go find one of her earlier performances or maybe even a later performance. Mm-hmm. But she certainly kind of knocked it out of the park here.
Well, it was her one chance. And did you see that craft table? And she heard Kojak was going to be in the next episode. Oh, Lord.
She had to really speed up for this job. It was a rush.
No, she had to hustle.
Well, she was hustling rather nicely. Oh, I like the advertising.
She was advertising half off.
Oh, God. We are horrible people.
Let's see. Is the next episode we're going to be watching, or are we going to try and put this off here? Hold on. Next episode is The Empath, trapped in an alien laboratory.
Oh, Kirk, Lord Spock, in heaven, God above!
Meet an empath and are involved in a series of experiments. Oh, no.
It stinks.
Oh, no.
And it's also an even worse example of low budget than Spectre of the Gun.
Well, we have Kirk tied up in chains, so that's slash fiction fodder right there. And it looks like the entire set is like in an empty black room with some jungle gyms.
Yeah, they just throw some props around and cross their fingers.
I'm so excited for this episode.
Scotty makes an appearance, but he doesn't say anything.
Really?
Really?
Nope, he says something. He's saying something right now.
He he says, you know, get me out of this episode.
No. It's hold on. I'll show this to you. Hold on.
Okay.
Where are we? Screen. Go live. Thrilling, thrilling content, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. See?
Oh, okay. I'll tell us how long it's been since I've seen this episode.
I just thought it was funny that you said Scott doesn't say shit while I was jumping through the episode, and it was clearly Scotty saying something.
Oh, and I have some rather troubling news. Kathy Brown passed away in 2003 at the age of 72.
Oh.
I know. Oh. Her last acting
Scotty's
credits...
saying something right here, too, at the beginning of the episode.
All right. And her last acting credits were two episodes of The Love Boat.
Which one?
It was a two-parter, The Family Plan.
Right, but which Love Boat? There's multiple Love Boats.
The TV series.
Very good. Very good. There are multiple Love Boats. Which Love Boat?
There was only one TV series called The Love Boat.
Oh, Jesus
Christ.
The Love Boat TV series has more than one.
Are you trying to gaslight me?
No, hold on. Love Boat TV series. The new Love Boat TV series.
The new Love Boat TV series doesn't count.
Love Boat The Next Wave.
Ah, which doesn't count.
But it's a Love Boat.
But it is not the Love Boat. When I say the Love Boat in context with discussion on television, everyone should automatically snap to the original series with Gavin McLeod and the rest of the snarky, stupid crew. Oh, I can look at some of her earlier appearances. She was also in a couple of appearances of the Wild Wild West.
Wicked Wild Wild, the one with Will Smith?
No! Stop doing that.
Take care, everybody.
Behave.